The following interview is part of the Tales of the Trade series created by fellows in the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Program.
I grew up visiting a lot of film sets. My dad was a production manager, producer on movies, so we would have to move to wherever he was working. So like if he did a movie in South Dakota, we would just go for 6 months. And I really didn't like that because I would have to change schools in the middle of the semester, you know, and like have to come in and get to know a whole new group of people. And that was kind of stressful. And I did that until I started high school, you know, just changed schools like every year and or every couple of years. And it was good that I got to kind of meet all different kinds of people and like just see lots of different places. But it was hard, you know, just changing schools. So I never really had any desire to be in this business. And I visited sets, too. And when you're little, it's kind of boring on set because there's a lot of standing around. There's really not much to do. People are always telling you to be quiet, you know, and the only good thing was the food, you know. There was always a lot of, like, snacks around and stuff that we weren't allowed to have at home. So that was kind of fun. But, so I had no desire to do this. I worked a little bit when I was in high school. In the summertime, I'd work as a production assistant just because that was the only job I could get. But I went away to college and studied marine biology. And I wasn't even that interested in it, but just it was something, it was the most different thing I could think of. I know that these days a lot of people have their plans and their goals, and I think that's great. I never really had that kind of plan because I never thought I was going to do this for this long. So I got out of college and I started working in film really because it was the only job I could get at the time. And I thought I would just do it for a short amount of time and then like go back to graduate school or, you know, do something else. And it just, what happens when you start working in film is that you're just working and sleeping and you're not really thinking about like where it's going, or at least for me, I wasn't really thinking about like what was gonna happen next. So I did that for 600 days. I worked as a production assistant for 600 days. And then somebody, and I was working with this group of people that was good about like just hiring me on their different jobs that they were doing. And then they said, you know, you have enough days, you should join the Directors Guild. And I was like, well, I don't really know, you know, if this is for me. I thought I was just kind of doing this job till I figured out what I was really going to do when I grew up. You know, I was just kind of, you know, biding my time. And I joined the guild and then I started working as a second AD and, you know, just kind of, you know, worked my way up. And then I was doing feature films for the most part at that time. I was doing movies that would take anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6 months for filming. And I got to travel a lot and film all over. And that was great. Then I got married and I thought, well, you know, I don't want to commit this much time because I was hoping to have kids and all this other kind of stuff. And then I met David Simon in 1999. And we started doing television. I hadn't really done a lot of episodic television up to that point. It was a miniseries called The Corner that we did here in Baltimore. And that was my first time coming to Baltimore, too. I was living in North Carolina at that time and came up here for that. And we've been working together ever since. It's like 20 years on, you know, lots of different types of projects. And the one thing I set out to do from the beginning was to learn something new every day. And that kept me from being really bored when I was a PA, you know, and sometimes as a PA, they'll put you like 3 or 4 blocks away from the filming, you know, and you're just holding up traffic or it's very boring. And you're there for like 3 or 4 hours if, you know, because they forget about you. And they might even go to lunch and forget that you're out there. So, you know, you're just standing there and you're bored and you're thinking, I'm just like wasting my life. I don't even know what I'm doing here. And it wasn't even like I was trying to work up to something. So I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to keep myself engaged and just try to learn something new every day. And that's been, you know, my goal, even as I've moved up. And even today, I still try to learn something new every day. And it could be something about my job, something about somebody else's job, or just some little random, you know, thing like what's that piece of equipment called, or, you know, whatever. So by doing that, I kept myself from being bored. And it also means that I was, when the opportunities came later on, I was qualified. Like, I didn't know what those opportunities were going to be when I was, you know, second AD. And the first AD, that's, you know, you sort of know where that's going. I never knew that I was going to be an executive producer on television. But when the opportunity came, which was season 3 of The Wire, we had another colleague who worked with us who died suddenly. And so there was a choice between moving me up into that position or bringing someone else in. And because I had, on my own time, tried to learn different things like editing and casting and some of the more creative things, HBO gave me a chance to do that job. So I never knew that opportunity was coming, but just by trying to learn all kinds of random things, it really built up my skills so that I was able to do that. My job is a little bit unique. I mean, first of all, there's all kinds of producers, as you know, and people do different things. The incredible opportunity that I have is that I kind of get to do a little bit of everything. On a lot of shows, there are, you know, producers who are more involved in production in terms of scheduling and budgeting and logistic type things, and sometimes they're called line producers and sometimes they're called producers. There are people that are the ones who just get the money and the source material and like would buy a book and option it, and they're executive producers. When I became an executive producer, when I got that promotion, I called my dad and I was like, you know, they're giving me this incredible opportunity, isn't this great? And he was like, really? Like, you're giving up the produce by credit to be an executive producer? He thought it was kind of a demotion because executive producers typically are not actively involved, you know, in the way that I am on a day-to-day basis. And it's different, of course, in television than it is in feature films. In feature films, you might never see the executive producer because, again, he might be the one that just raises the money, you know, and maybe consults on some of the initial casting and that kind of stuff. But what I do, and the other benefit I have is that David Simon came from the Baltimore Sun, didn't know a lot about producing when we first started working together. And so we kind of made our own rules. And the way we do things, I think, are a little different. I didn't allow him to just be a writer. You know, I told him that he had to know a little bit about the production things, like how much things cost, you know, and stuff like that. And he doesn't know that he, you know, doesn't have to worry about those things. I didn't let him know that part. So, but basically, so David writes a script. The only thing I don't do is write. I'm present in the writers' meetings, and I do editing and notes on scripts, but I don't write the scripts. I've just never had much of a desire to do that. You know, there's been a couple of emergency situations where I've had to rewrite a scene, and it's stressful for me. But anyway, so David writes a script, and then I get the script, and even like before it's published, my main job is to translate to all the other departments. Not everybody can understand things in the same way. So it's a lot of psychology, I think, of thinking about how to convey information to different people. And I do that when we first get a script. I'll send out like a list of locations. I'll send out a list of, you know, actors who we think are going to be in it. I never send out the script until the writers are ready to do that. Out of courtesy to them, we give them the chance to revise. So there's probably like 2 revisions before the script will be published. But we still need to get all that information out because our crew has, like The Deuce, the show I'm doing right now, we shoot 13 days per episode. And then we're prepping 13 days. That's not a whole lot of time for like a lot of locations, and especially in New York when you have to give people a lot of notice. The other advantage I have is that I try to find some sort of common bond with all the people we work with, and not only the people on the film, but the people in the community. I have to remind people when we start to work together that, you know, the local businessman, his business is as important to him as ours is to us. So we don't just come in and kind of take over unless we're going to give something back. There's always something in common that you can find, you know, with someone or some way, I think, to work it out. Sometimes people don't have the flexibility to think that way, you know, just to kind of be open-minded and to treat every show is different. Like, yes, you get into certain habits and you learn certain ways of working, but if you can kind of just approach every show as its own thing and think about what that show needs. And you always have to come with something, meaning if you go to a meeting or you go to an interview or you go wherever, you need to come with something that you can give, whether it's a piece of information, you've done some research, or you have a question even. Come, you know, having done your homework. Even if I go, even, and this is true for, obviously, for interviews or, you know, if you're pitching something, but, you know, in other words, it's not enough if you're pitching something just to know the story that you wrote. You know, you should know the history, you should know the background, you should know everything about every character. I would say you should practice that pitch on your friends and have them ask you questions and you know, really surround this thing every which way that you can so that you go in there completely confident and completely, you know, with all the information. And then don't back down. Someone says, well, like, I'm not sure that's a good idea. Have, you know, have conviction, you know, and stick to your guns, because that's what they want to see, is that you believe in the project. If you don't believe in the project, nobody else is going to sign on. You know, you have to be the champion of that thing that you're doing. But even if I go to like a production meeting or a special effects meeting or whatever, you know, do your homework, review the material ahead of time. Don't just come in and like waste people's time. Even if you're the boss, don't waste anybody's time.